read at verse 37. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Well, this last day, this great day of the feast, where Jesus issued this wonderful invitation, and clearly was in great earnest. There were times when he addressed the people, sat down. That was a custom among them at that time, but here he stands, and he cries, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." This being the last day of the feast, the last day, when they were gathering together, it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. This then was the eighth day, a holy convocation among them, as the first and seventh days were, and clearly among the people thought to be the greatest day of all the great days of that feast. And Jesus, knowing that that company were not going to be gathered again like that, to hear his invitation, and to hear his issues and assurances of grace, is in great earnest. So he stands and he cries. His voice brings forth a Jerusalem there that all will hear. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And good were it, friend, whatever we are or whoever we are, if tonight we would have grace to hear the Saviour's cry. We believe he cries still. We believe he's in earnest still. We believe it's as if he that is sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens, as to the entrance upon his glory, but as to his dealing with souls, he's in as much earnest as ever, as if he was standing, as if he was rushing into our midst, like Aaron the high priest did, with the incense, in the censer, lit with the fire off the altar to stay the plague. And surely we must think of our great high priest like that, with the fire of the finished work when he bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners, and with the incense of his own merit, a beautiful perfume to heaven, and the incense of his own prayers to his Father in heaven. And he stays the plague, the wrath of God turned away by his own intervention. And oh, here he is, running into our midst between the dead and the living, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." This Feast of Tabernacles was the most joyful of their feasts. It was a time when the children of Israel spent the week and a day living in booths, in temporary shelters, in remembrance of how the Lord had led them through the wilderness when they had no settled city to live in, and before he brought them into the promised land, but how he had led them through the wilderness and been as good as his promise, and brought his people of his choice into the land of Canaan. And so they lived in booths to be a commemoration of how the Lord had brought them out of Egypt, and how he brought them through the wilderness, and how he brought them into the land of Canaan. And good for you and me, dear friend, if we could follow them in that. If we could dwell in a booth here tonight. If we could set up our own booth. If we could have a Feast of Tabernacles, of following those who dwelt in tents, that we would know the experience of being brought out of the house of bondage, the land of Egypt. That's the representation of the sinner under the law, with the demand that he make the same amount of bricks That is to give the same perfect obedience to God that Adam was required to give at the beginning with an innocent nature and with the strength to do it. But now fallen and corrupt and without the straw to make the bricks, still we have to produce the same bricks and we cannot. We're undone, we're done for, we're ruined. Under the covenant of works, under the laws of covenant, there's nothing but condemnation. But behold, God makes a provision. The Lord will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And as with Abraham and Isaac, the lamb, the ram was caught in the thicket by its horns, and the ram was offered in the place of Abraham's son for a burnt offering. So on the night of the Passover, when the children of Israel escaped that house of bondage, to begin their journey, the lamb was provided, and the lamb died in their stead and in their room, and it was not the blood of the Israelite children shed that night. The plague did not come into their homes. The plague came into the Egyptian homes and slew all the firstborn there. But the children of Israel were covered, and they were delivered. They had deliverance when I see the blood of the sacrificed lamb, sprinkled upon your doorposts, I will pass over you. Now, whatever may or may not happen with a physical plague, that's a different matter. And we shouldn't put these same two things together in our day and age, but the spiritual plague and the damning judgment of God against us for our sin forever, the escape is to have the blood of Jesus Christ sacrificed at Calvary's tree, sprinkled upon our souls in an application of the work of the Spirit and received by faith, that the Lord would look on us and see faith in the blood of his Son, reliance on the death of Jesus to take away sin, realizing that his punishment bore all. Well, is that in our experience? That's got to be in our experience. And then the wilderness journey, when they dwelt in the tabernacle, in booths, as it were, in tents, all the way through the 40 years, having no place to dwell. Well, that's the people of God in this world. There's no city for them here. They're declaring plainly that they seek one, but they have no rest here. This is not their rest. They're journeying. They're going from the city of destruction, like Egypt. They're going to the celestial city. That's like the land of Canaan would be, the promised land that flows with milk and honey. But at the moment, they're in the wilderness, where they dwell in booths. And though they meet many a trial, and have many an affliction, and many a worry, and many an anxiety, yet the Lord brings them through and upholds them and keeps them and makes wonderful provision, feeding them with manna that drops out of the sky every day except the Sabbath. And then they have a double portion falling on the day before the Sabbath. Who from the smitten rock provides them with the water that they're in need of provide for their thirst and all the rest he did for them. And then, have you had that in you? Is that your experience presently? Are you on this wilderness journey? You know the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. Where are you, dear friend? Are you still in the city of destruction? Are you still in Egypt? Are you still under the law? Are you still trying to do good things to make God pleased with you and count you a good person? Or have you escaped the city of destruction, as the pilgrim did, fleeing from the wrath to come, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to put your faith in his blood, and then have you begun the Christian journey, the pilgrim's progress? Many an experience you'll have in that way, but oh, there's no better way to be, no better life to live, no better place to be, as long as you're in this world, but in the wilderness journey, not thinking anyway that this world was a paradise, but knowing it was a wilderness and looking for another paradise, one that will last, one that's real, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you among the people that are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken? The kingdoms of this world are very easily shaken, as we see, even in our proud, self-sufficient, technologically advanced, knowledge-based society. Oh, we thought we had it all. We thought we were beyond these things, did we not? As a society and as a world. But oh, see what a little thing, what a tiny little thing that we cannot even see with our eyes. See the devastation that it can bring. See how it turns the world upside down. See the turmoil and the fear and the panic and so on. But oh, the Lord's people, this never was their rest anyway. If we're on the wilderness journey of real Christianity, then this outward life is not the one that matters the most to us, but the inward life. Trying to be faithful to Christ, to keep up communion with Him, to walk with Him, to go where He goes, not to offend Him, as they so often did in the Israelites in the wilderness when they dwelt in their booths and tabernacles. And they know they're offending the Lord all the time, but it's not what they want. They want to be faithful, and they want to make it to the end. They're looking to the Lord to keep them, and he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And they'll enter everlasting glory. One day, those that escaped Egypt and are on a true Christian journey, a life of faith and repentance every day, and they will reach the shores of glory, that's for certain. They'll be in the land of Canaan. Now the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus issued this invitation, and we know we've been long on that, but it's necessary to set the context. And that's what it was bringing to remembrance. He took them out of Egypt, he led them through the wilderness, and he brought them to the promised land. He took them, in other words, from the estate of sin and misery. He leads them through the estate of grace in this world in order to take them to the estate of glory in the world to come. And whatever other journeys we've been on, and many a journey now for a while at least we're being forbidden to take. Oh, this is the essential journey. This is where we must be. This is what we must pass through. This is what we must have. Oh, are you crying to the Lord for it if you don't have it? Are you blessing Him for it if you have it? It's all of grace. Oh, that He would set the feet of every one of us into this path. For there's no other way to heaven. The Lord Jesus, the Passover Lamb, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Faith in the Passover blood of Jesus is the only way to the Father. And the way of holiness and godliness and faith and repentance is the only way to live in this world and to reach the Father at the end. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says the Saviour. And when the world, to the degree it has so rejected that loving, gracious, merciful, good message of glad tidings to sinners, to the degree it has, it's no wonder that these things are upon us now. And the wonder is that it's not even now much worse than the one that is, that has been held back for so long. How long the long suffering of the Lord has held back at the tsunami of His judgments. Oh, and may He return to long suffering, but may it be in a way of bringing multitudes to repentance and to faith, and may it bring you and me to repentance and to faith. Well, friends, that's what the feast was, and on the great day of the feast, the last opportunity for them before they returned to their different homes throughout the tribes of Israel. In the last day, that great day of the feast, that great day, the last opportunity for the Saviour to address them. This is what He cried out to them with all the earnestness of His heart. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then He explains those terms in the next verse. he that believeth on me. So the coming in verse 37 is the same as the believing in verse 38. Coming to Christ is to believe on him, to put your trust in him, to rely on him. And believing on him is the same as coming to him. If you ever ask, how can I come to him? The answer is believe on him. If you're saying, well, how can I believe? What is believing? It's coming to him. Well, coming is believing. And the Savior is saying, if any man thirst, let him believe in me. And then he says, and drink. And that next verse explains that as well. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He'll drink, and he'll find that that drink will supply him with an inward river of grace. And verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So believe on the Lord Jesus, come to the Lord Jesus, and drink, and you'll find that there's a fountain of the grace of the Holy Spirit, of gospel provision, that will surely slake your thirst, that will supply what you're needing inwardly and deeply in your very belly, not the belly of your body, but the belly of your soul. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, the spiritual life. Come to Christ and you live spiritually. And the Holy Spirit is in operation in the soul. And the soul then drinks. It drinks of that which will truly and only satisfy the soul. But the Savior is saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And maybe you're saying, maybe the devil is saying, oh, but I don't thirst. This sounds all very wonderful. Let him come unto me and drink. To have the Holy Spirit, to have rivers of water in my heart, to have a spiritual life, to have that for the first time, or to have it revived, to have it flowing again, to have the tears of a sorrow for sin flowing for the first time or a second time or for the umpteenth time. But oh, I feel so hard, how can it be? I'm not even thirsting for it. Oh, but let us see that this is not as full of qualifications and achievements beforehand that we might be tempted to think. We'd be misinterpreting the Savior as if he was, is it? If we are thinking that he's saying, you've got to have this, and only then can you have my blessing. You've got to achieve this next thing. You've got to get this, and then you can have my salvation and my Spirit and my blessing. We're misinterpreting his words, if that's the way we think of it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And what we want to try to say to you this evening in the time we have is that that means every man. If any man, well, I think you're included in that. I'm sure you're included in that. I'm sure the Savior is including that you in that. If any man, that is every man, any kind of woman, any kind of young person, if anyone at all, thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, but what about that thirsty? I don't have the right thirst. And so, or I don't thirst like I used to. Therefore, I'm disqualified. Friend, no, you're not. Let's try and think of three men that fit into this category. And I think by looking at the three men, we'll include every single one of us here this evening. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him enjoy gospel blessing in the fullness of the Spirit, like rivers of water, of spiritual life in his soul, to truly satisfy his thirst. Well, the first man then is the man who thirsts for all the wrong things. The first thing the devil will say to you and your own soul will say is, I've never thirsted rightly for Christ. I've never been right in what I greatly desire. But we know what it is to be thirsty in a measure. I don't think any of us have ever known desperate thirst. like those that may be in a dry wilderness and there's nothing to drink and they're near the death door and so on. But if any man thirsts, and the first man is the man who thirsts for all the wrong things, and we want to assure you that if that's you, you are included. If you've never thirsted for Christ, and even if tonight you're not thirsting for Christ, and you're not wanting a spiritual life, you're just wanting in such a day and hoping that your life will be spared and that you won't even have to suffer a few weeks even, let alone suffer unto death at this time, that you might just get back to the days when you might enjoy your pleasures, your worldly pleasures, the pleasures of sin for a season, or even pleasures that are lawful in themselves, thirsting for money, or thirsting for position, or thirsting for relationships in the world, lawful or unlawful, whatever it may be. If that's what your thirst is, perhaps you're saying then, Jesus isn't talking to me. And we want to assure you that Jesus is talking to you. And Isaiah 55 makes it very, very clear that the Saviour is issuing the invitation to yourself, dear friend. Because there he says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Oh, I've got to be thirsting for Christ. I've got to have a spiritual thirst. I need to be thirsting that I'd be made right with him. Otherwise, these promises, and they're wonderful, waters, freely, without money, wine, milk, and so on. But I'm excluded because I've not got the right thirst. Is that what you're saying? Well, the next verse says, it defines the kind of thirst that these thirsty ones have. And he says, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. These were not the people that were thirsting in the right way for the right thing. Far from it. They were thirsting in a wrong way, a sinful way, for the wrong things. They were spending their money for that which was not bread. Their labour was being spent for that which did not satisfy. They were turning from the gospel. They were turning from true religion. They were trying to satisfy their thirst. The thirst that every man has for good. The thirst that every man has for happiness. The thirst that every man has for peace. The thirst that every man has for security. But they were looking for that in the wrong things. They were turned in the wrong direction. They had gone to the cisterns of this world. That we have in Jeremiah, don't we? My people have committed two great evils. What were they? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. When the Saviour says, if any man thirsts, he's not limiting it to those who thirst rightly for the right things. He's including most definitely those who are thirsting for the wrong things, and those who are thirsting in the wrong way for the wrong things. And he's saying, Oh, turn unto me. You that have no understanding, you that are going in the wrong direction, turn to me. Whoso is simple, Proverbs 9, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Here's the offer. And it's not to those who have known what they're meant to be thirsting for and are getting it right. But it's to the ones who are so simple and so foolish and so lack understanding that they don't know what they're doing. And all that they understand about what they're doing, they're beginning to realize they've been going to broken cisterns, to wells that can hold no water to satisfy their soul. What they put their trust in and what they sought, it cannot give them what their souls are in need of. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding.
Forsake the foolish. You're among the foolish. But my offer is to you. To you that are among the foolish. That have foolishly tried to satisfy the thirst that is in every human soul. For good. For peace. For strength. For life. For joy. For security. And you've gone to all the wrong places for it. You've been digging up wells of your own invention. Going to the world. And looking to the world to give it to you. And all it's done is just made you even more thirsty to get more and more and more of the world. And more and more and more of the pleasures of sin. But they never really satisfy, do they? And when they're taken from you, and many of these things are being taken from us at this time, then, friend, what will you do if that's where you went for your joy and for your pleasure and for your solace? It's time that you heard the voice of Christ, that you would incline your ear and come unto him. Hear, he says, and your soul shall live. You that have been foolishly going to the broken systems of the world, its pleasures, its profits, its positions, its places, its cares, its troubles, and all the rest of it, and going as well to the broken system of your own works, as if by trying to be a good person it would get you right with God. No. So then the offer is to him that has never been thirsty for what he ought to have been thirsty for, who's never until now considered it, that he needs to be thirsting for Christ. Come with all that wrong thirst. Come with all that unpreparedness. Come with all that unfitness. Come as you are right now, an undone, self-ruined, self-destroyed sinner that even at this moment can't thirst for what you really need or what is right. Jesus says to you, he says to you, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come to me. Oh, but I don't have that conviction of sin I need, don't you, friend? That sense that you've been thirsting for the wrong thing, that unease, that sense, that realization that, oh, it hasn't satisfied, it's not enough. And how much longer will I have it for anyway? There never was a guarantee that it would last, but a guarantee that it would come to the end in the end. And that might be sooner than we think now. But let him come unto me and drink, the Saviour says. He's not making conditions. He's not saying you have to bring qualifications. He's saying just come as you are. Come in that whole mess of fallen humanity that describes your situation through and through. Come with all the stench of the world upon you. Come with a heart and a record that speaks for nothing but vanity and your delight in vanities. Come with nothing but a wasted life. But come to Christ. Believe on him. He's the Saviour of sinners. He's the Saviour of those that have gone to all the wrong things and drank the poison that has been, rather than helping them and refreshing them, has actually been continually all the more destroying their souls. If any man thirst, even that man, the man who's been thirsting for all the wrong things, let him come to me and drink. How could he open the door more widely? How could he assure us that there is an open door to the house of the gospel and to the kingdom of God and to all the blessings? You've been spending money for that which is not bread, your labour for that which satisfies not. Now turn to Christ. Turn in hither. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. The sons of Adam, that means. The sons of fallen Adam. Fallen, fallen creatures who have a thirst, a raging thirst for sin. A raging thirst for the world. A raging thirst for rebellion. A raging thirst to get as much out of the world as they can and have no thirst for what they ought to thirst for. Well, that's the sin
ready to forgive. And if you come to him, he'll forgive it. And he'll give you, and as you come, you'll have the Holy Spirit. He will subdue that thirst and give you a thirst for right things. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. The second man we see in the text is the one who is thirsting for the right thing. The one who is thirsting for salvation. Who has not yet drunk of the wells of salvation, as they're called in Isaiah 12. He's never yet let down a bucket of his desires and his faith and his trust into the wells of salvation. But he knows that he needs it. And he would have it if he could get it. And perhaps he's been seeking it and not finding it. Perhaps he's been calling for it and thinking that the Lord's not hearing him. Perhaps he's thinking that it might not be for him after all. But he needs it and he wants it. A sense of need has been produced in his soul. And though he still feels that thirst for the world, that's not subdued, it can't be until you're a child of grace. Yet he's got this new thing in him, this sense that he just has to be saved. The Philippian jailer, the night when Paul and his companion were incarcerated, he went to sleep that night with only thirst for the world and the things of the world. But oh, how quickly, at midnight, there's the earthquake, he thinks all the prisoners are gone, he's about to kill himself, all the doors are open, all the bars, all the locks are broken. He thinks they're all gone. He thinks the Romans will come and subject him to a terrible death. And he'd rather kill himself. But the voice comes of the Lord, do thyself no harm. But not your sword to your throat. Do not slay yourself. And then he comes in trembling. Oh, what must I do to be saved? You see, here's a man, he's not saved yet. But he knows now there's one thing needful. He knows now that the salvation of his soul is what he needs more than anything else. If any man thirst, and as Paul tells him, and as it's explained to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, he's being assured. Jailer, you're now thirsting for something you never thirsted for before. The salvation of your soul, your sins, and the sin that you've already committed of desiring to lay hands on yourself and to kill yourself, and in heart and intention you did it, though you've been kept from the action. Your sins of behavior, what you have done. Your sins of speech, the way you've spoken. The sins of your heart, what you wanted to do but perhaps never did. All of them come in with a conviction of sin, and now he's got a thirst for one thing. And that is the salvation of his soul. To have Jesus Christ as his Saviour. He wants to drink now of the water of salvation. He wants to know where the wells of salvation can be found. He wants to know how he can be delivered. Not from the anger of the Romans, but from the anger of the Almighty God. That he's offended. He's locked up in cruelty. The servants of the Most High God who serve the Lord of heaven. He has offended the God of glory. And oh, what trouble and turmoil his soul is in. And you could have brought anything to the Philippian jailer at that point. You could have brought him money and he would not be interested. He had no thirst for it. You could have brought him a promotion and say, Philippian jailer, we're going to make you. We're going to put you in charge of all the jails of the whole of the Roman Empire. We're going to make you the Home Secretary. We're going to put you in such a high position. He wouldn't have cared for it at all. He had no thirst for it. Or he could have been told, oh, we've got something. That means your family, you and your family, are going to live in peace. You're not going to have troubles in the world. You're going to have a good life. Your children are going to grow up well. They're going to get on and everything will be provided for, and in outward things, oh, everything's going to be so smooth for you and your loved ones. I say, that's not what I'm interested in. That's not the one thing needful. That's not what I'm most concerned about. He could have been told, well, no disease will come to you, no plague will come to you, no outward plague. He'd say, oh, but that's not the plague I'm worried about. Chiefly, I'm worried about the plague of my own heart. And so to anyone who knows the plague of their own heart, that's the spiritual plague, the plague of sin. And you've been seeking the Lord, and you would seek the Lord, and though you're afraid to call it really a thirst, yet you know you need, and you desire to be obtaining salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's been your prayer enough times. Lord, give me faith. Lord, give me repentance. Lord, give me Christ, or I perish. Lord, deliver me from my sin. Rescue me. This evil heart of unbelief I have, save me from it. I can't say with that man, Lord, I believe. But oh, I can say, help thou my unbelief, and deliver me from its reigning power, and deliver me from this hardness of heart. If any man thirsts, if any man wants that salvation, if any man desires that salvation, let him come unto me and drink. Perhaps he's saying, but oh, I've made a mess of this so many times. I've had times under the word. I've had times in my providences. I've had warnings and they've affected me. And something of this thirst has been stirred up in me that I know I've got to be saved. I've even gone home from church and I've gone to the secret place and I've pleaded with the Lord to save me. And at that time I was thirsty, but I don't feel that thirst quite the same now. Oh, but you've known that thirst, and surely, if you've ever come to that, it can never fully leave you. That knowledge that you need to be saved from your sin, and that you need it through Jesus Christ. And here is Christ, on the last day of the feast, that great day, there in Jerusalem, standing and crying to anyone there, the thirst for salvation, thirst to get right with God, that thirst for the forgiveness of his sins, who thirst for reconciliation to the Lord God, who thirsts that the wrath of God would be turned away, who thirsts that this sense of guilt in his conscience, this unease that troubles him so much, and he would love to have it taken away by the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, which will purge his conscience from dead works, he might start to serve the living God. Well, if that man thirsts, and he does thirst, let him come to Christ, and Christ will receive him, and Christ will feast him, and Christ will give him a drink. This man receives sinners, as we saw this morning, and he delights to do so. He delights in mercy. He loves to have souls coming to him. The man who doesn't thirst for salvation, the man who does thirst for salvation, if any of these two thirst, and they both thirst, the one who thirsts for the wrong things, and the one who thirsts to some degree for the right thing, let him, whoever he is, let him come unto me, and drink, and for certainty, when he believes on me, and the scripture is saying, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was speaking of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the soul. So then, friend, are you in that first category? Come to Christ tonight, now. Are you in the second category? Come to Christ now. Come and drink. Drink of the waters of salvation. Drink freely. Whosoever it will, let him take of the water of life freely. Don't think you have to pay. You don't have to pay. Your thirst is not the currency with which you purchase the Saviour's salvation. You come empty-handed, thirst or no thirst, and then you thirst for the right thing or no thirst for the right thing. Come just as you are. If you have no thirst for the right thing, you're as welcome as the one who has the thirst for the right thing. The one who has the thirst for the right thing, he's not bringing that thirst to be the payment with which he trades with the Saviour, make a transaction with him to purchase salvation. No, it's free to them both. In that way, there's no difference. No difference. answered Paul, but oh, let him come and drink. What's the third man in the text? If any man. Well, there's a man that we've not spoken of yet, and that's the godly man. That's the man who has come already. That's the man who has put his trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The man or the woman or the young person that has already trusted in the Saviour, that has come to him before. And no doubt there were some like that at the feast in the tabernacles. We know there was a godly remnant among the Jews. They were the Saviour's own disciples, for example. And there were others that were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, the Saviour issues the invitation to his own people too. And he says to them, if any man thirst, that includes then the Christian man, that includes the godly man, that's the man who knows what it is to come to the wells of salvation, to draw joy out of those wells of salvation. That's the man who can sing those sounds that we've been singing. And it's true of himself, Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. If you ever come to Christ and his people, that's exactly what they've done. They're believers. They've trusted in him for salvation. They've received and rested on Christ alone. They came with their thirst for the world that was sinful, with their thirst for salvation that was leading them to Jesus. And they came to Christ, and they found there was a drink ready for them. They found there was a cordial over their troubled souls, and then there was a healing in the balm of Gilead, that there was a physician there, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they found forgiveness for the sin that troubled them. They found the Holy Spirit was provided to work in their hearts, to conform them to the image of the Lord Jesus day by day. They found there were consolations and promises in the gospel that were the best that could ever be found. And yet, remember, whilst they're in this world, they're on the wilderness journey, like the Feast of Tabernacles were reminding the Israelites. The journey that their forefathers went through. And when they dwelt in a dry and weary land, a dry and thirsty land where no water was, and during their passage in the world, the people of God come across many a thirsty place, many a dry and barren wilderness experience that they go through. They come here and they come there and there's no water there. They come to this situation. They come to this temptation. They come to that trouble. And they find they're in a place where there's no water. Psalm 63 was David's psalm when he was in the wilderness of Judah. His outward circumstances and his inward experiences were combining. My soul thirsteth for thee. My body is thirsting for water. In this land that has so little moisture, but my soul thirsteth for thee in this dry and thirsty land. There's no water for the body, but oh, in the experience of my soul, it's like there's no water. It's like I'm cut off from the wells of salvation. It's like I've not been drinking, and now I see my soul withering that had been refreshed before. I've seen it prospering to some degree. I've seen it make some progress. I'd seen it with an appetite and with a thirst and with a drinking. And now I realise that I've not been drinking as deeply from the wells of salvation. I've not been letting down my soul's desire and my soul's faith for a draught of those refreshing waters. I've been grieving the Holy Spirit and therefore his influence is within me. The rivers of water that flow from my belly are not flowing at the rate they used to. Oh, if any man thirst, if any man be in a wilderness place who knows what it is to have got a drink from these waters of the well of this spiritual Bethlehem, of the Jesus of the Bethlehem, the greater David, if any such a man thirst, Let him come unto thee all over again, and let him drink from the same waters all over again. He's not cut off, even if he's been neglecting the water, or even if there's been a coldness to the Saviour. Here's the Saviour, and on the last day of the feast, and he means it, he's standing up, and he's crying out to you, child of God, and he's saying, if any man thirst, and that includes you, let him come unto me and drink. Let him renew his trust. Let him put faith in exercise again. Let him go to the promises. Let him go to those places in the Word that assure him that there's a full provision. Let him not be found forsaking the fountain of living waters. Let him not be found hewing out for himself any of those old cisterns which he'd already learned were broken and can hold no water. Why would he ever go back to them? Oh, but the child of grace knows what it's like to go back to them. Oh, but if any man thirsts, if he's coming to the realization, oh, if he thirsts for what he once had, as he had seen the Lord heretofore within his sanctuary, then let him come, and let him drink. Psalm 143, we sang as well. I stretch my hands to thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. My soul is like a thirsty land, like the land as you see it in some parts of the world, when it doesn't rain for so long, and the cracks start to appear, and what was soil turns to dust, and the smallest breeze of wind seems to just carry all the soil away. It's just like dust, it's so dry. And the psalmist there, David, in Psalm 143, the godly man, he's saying, my soul is like a thirsty land. It's cracked and broken open, it's turned to dust. Like it's cleaving to the dust. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I remember what a fruitful garden thou did make my soul to be, and how it flourished and how it was well watered. But now it's like withered. Now it's like a thirsty land. But oh, here's the reviving of my soul. My soul is thirsting after thee again. But what I had enjoyed, and oh, I enjoyed it. Oh, there was nothing like it. I'd have it again. Oh, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And even the child of grace, when his faith's in exercise, then that faith makes him thirst. Even when he's not conscious of backsliding, and it's not, his soul is not so much cleaving to the dust, but it's in some degree running after the Lord. Oh, if any man thirst, let him keep coming unto me. Let him keep on drinking. Let him keep on enjoying the Holy Spirit at work in his soul, that out of his belly will flow the rivers of the living waters, of spiritual desires, of faith and love and new obedience, of repentance, of joy in the Lord, of peace of conscience, and of an endeavor after godliness, and to fight the good fight of faith. If any man thirst, if a man who's thirsting for the wrong things, if any man thirst, the man who's thirsting to enjoy for the first time the right thing, if any man thirst, the man who has enjoyed the right thing in the past, if any man, whichever one he be, if any man thirst, that's every one of you, is it not? That's you and me, all of us. Whichever category we're in, let him come unto me and drink. And are you saying, oh, but my problem, minister, is a bit different. I just don't know which category I'm in. What shall I do? Well, in a way, friend, in a way, it does not actually matter, does it? Because you've got to do the same thing, whichever category you're in. Put away the question, and from that point of view, am I this, am I that, am I... Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your state is, whatever the truth is at the moment, come to Christ and drink. And you'll have the Holy
Spirit at work in your Son as rivers of living water. Come to him, whoever you are, wherever you are. Come to him and drink, as it's open to all. That was the Saviour's message on the last day, that great day of the feast, when he stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. May he bless his word. We should pray.